This morning's reading's taken from Acts chapter 2, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. The community of believers. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. Thanks be to God.
I've not actually heard the Passion version of that passage before. Twice in that passage, it talked about sharing communion. And, you know, the reason I like this passage, and I'm not going to refer to it much this morning, but the reason I like it is because it paints a picture of the ordinary things of family. So in other translations that are maybe a bit closer, it doesn't talk about sharing communion. It talks about breaking bread together, right? It talks about just sharing food. It talks about something maybe a bit more ordinary than what we have done here. And maybe what we've done in sharing communion here is to make something extraordinary out of something that should be ordinary every day. Remembering God as we gather every day in his name and share food together and drink together in the way that families do. That's me entirely being distracted by the Passion version of scripture rather than saying to you what it is that I've written down that I'm going to say to you, which doesn't bode well for the amount of time that we're going to be here this morning. Today is part three in the series that we're looking at the moment, reflecting on the God-given values of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. Those of you who worship here regularly will remember at the beginning of the year we spent time together thinking about what values God has given us, what is distinct to us, what is core to who we are as church. And today in that process we're thinking about what it means to be family. We have already thought together about being Christ-centered and being disciples who make disciples. And if you have missed either of those services, you can catch up with them on the YouTube page. Next week, we're going to think about being generous and then missional before we take a short break, and we'll pick up on the final two values of being welcoming and worshipping. Once we have finished, once I have talked to you about all of these things, we are going to have a church-wide week of prayer together. Mark it in your diary now. From the 4th to the 10th of July, there will be opportunities to pray each day, to pray into each of our values that God has laid on our hearts, to start to discern together what he is calling us to next. If this is the sort of church we are, Lord, what next? Where do we go from here? And more details about that week of prayer will be forthcoming once I've thought about them. That's all the detail I have at the moment when it is. Once again, this morning, as we turn to think about today's Value Family, I want to first remind you of the statement that our church leadership team gave to our members' meeting. I'm going to be repeating this every single time, so I hope that by the end you will learn it off by heart and you'll all know it too as we go through the values. In fact, it's nice and big on the screen. Why don't we say it together? That'd be exciting, won't it? Yes, Joel! We're excited! Let's say these words together. We believe that every member of our church family is called to play a role in realizing all of our values. We believe that God is calling us to journey together in a spirit of adventure, to try new things, to take risks, to not be afraid to fail, and where possible, to have fun doing it. Amen. Great. Now you're all warmed up, let me ask you a question. Today, we are thinking about family. So what does it mean to be family?
To show love.
To belong.
Support each other.
To love one another. To feel wanted. To go home for dinner. Sorry? House? Oh, to go out for dinner. To go out for dinner. Sorry. It's my hearing. Anything else? Forgiveness. Support. All your family sound lovely. They really do. Because part of being family is having difficult relationships sometimes too, isn't it? There are great families and there are not so great families. And I think part of the question for us as a church when we think about what it means to be family is how we can continue to be bound together when we disagree, when we fall out with one another. What is the glue that keeps us together, that keeps us united and caring and loving one another? Churches should be family. As Christians, we are adopted children of Father God, and it makes us family, deeply bound to one another. And sometimes we do a good job of being family, of doing all those things that you've just mentioned, supporting each other and loving one another and belonging together. Sometimes we do a good job and sometimes less so. We are told that there is an epidemic of loneliness in our nation, in our society. That people are feeling more and more isolated, that community can be hard to come by. Friends and family members maybe live far away. Young people increasingly turn to apps in order to meet each other because building meaningful relationships is really, really hard. But churches should be an answer to this. We should be places where meaningful relationships are built and developed, not just with people who are like us, people our own age or with similar opinions and views to us, but where we can build meaningful relationships across ages, across cultural or social backgrounds. Church, this family is a gift of God. We are a gift to one another. You can have a look around and see if you think the people sat near you are a gift of God to you. We all get gifts sometimes that we want, and sometimes we get gifts that we don't particularly want, don't we? Things we need, I guess. We are a gift to one another. These people around you are your brothers and sisters given to you by Father God. You may not like the look of them, but they are yours. When we gathered in January to discern about our God-given gifts, these are some of the things that came up. family, community, being inclusive of all sorts of people with all sorts of background, including those with additional needs, being multi-generational. Multi-generational is really interesting because that means not just that we have young people and small people and old people and big people, but it means that we interact with each other too. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? It's like being in a family. We had communion earlier and some of the children were moving around and some of them were making noise when we were trying to be solemn and silent. And some of them were sat around looking bored while the prayers were happening. But you know what? That's part of family, isn't it? Sometimes children are noisy and sometimes they're bored and sometimes the grown-ups are too. It's being together in stuff, I guess, even when it doesn't suit us. And for many of us, we're good at making children come and be together with us when it doesn't suit them. I wonder how good we are at being together with the children when it doesn't suit us. It makes me really sad when I go to churches and they have all age services and you find that there's, you know, about 20% of the congregation that never comes to an all age service because it's not for them. But that's not being a family, is it? You turn up to the kids' birthday party even though you don't care about the balloons or the cake because they're your grandchild. It's part of doing life together. I'm incredibly distracted from what I should be saying. I was reading this list. That's what I was doing. I was reading this list. We talked about respect and support, about not being judgmental, about being united. We expressed a desire to be united and that there would be space here for everyone to play a part, that we could serve one another and enjoy ourselves and be accountable to each other. We expressed a desire that Whitley Bay Baptist Church should be a place that feels like home. This morning, I want to briefly explore a bit of what the Bible says about three relationships that mark the family of God. The parent-child relationship, the relationship between siblings, and the relationship between our church family and the rest of the world. Three relationships. We start with the parent-child. The Bible has loads to say about roles of parents and children and what they should be. Much of it about respect and care on the one hand and honor, respect and honor and care and nurture on the other hand. But in our church family, there is only one parent, our Father God. John 1 tells us that those who believe in the name of Jesus has the right to be adopted into the family of the King. We spent some time earlier this year together when we were studying Ephesians, thinking a bit about that. Our Father knows us intimately and has called us to belong to Him, to be His children. The privileges of being children of the Creator, the King of the universe, are huge, not least the life we inherit. In Scripture, children are told time and again to honour their parents, and God's people are told to put Him first. There's a covenant relationship between God and His people. It's a two-way promise. He will be our God, caring for us, guiding us, blessing us, and we are to be His children, faithful to Him, His people, to trust Him, to obey Him. We have done nothing to earn His favour or love, but He has called us to belong by His grace. He is a Father like no one other. There will be those among us who have wonderful earthly fathers, and there will be those here who do not know their fathers or who have had difficult relationships with them or may have been damaged or let down by them. But God is not a reflection of our dads or even of our mums. God is what a parent should be, always faithful, always loving, perfectly guiding, punishing when necessary, but patient and gracious as well. Even better, I dare say, than I am as a father. Even better than my own parents, who are quite wonderful. I had to say that, they're here. Being adopted children of God means that we inherit, we develop, we gain some of his characteristics. You know, I am told, I have been told in the past, that the way in which I gesture, and now I'm thinking about what I do with my hands, the way in which I gesture when I preach is exactly the same as my dad does, right? That I have inherited some of his gestures. Obviously, that doesn't come through genes, that comes through nurture, maybe happening to spend too many times listening to him preach. In the same way, our Heavenly Father rubs off on us. We should inherit some of his gestures, his characteristics, his behaviors. We should begin to be like God. That other people might look at us and know a bit of what our Father is like because of the stuff we've got from him. The parent-child relationship is the most important one because it's the one that welcomes us into the family. But once we are there, we have relationships with one another too. The child-to-child relationship. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm calling you all children. Some of you might be pleased because it's been a long while since anyone referred to you as a child. Others of you might be offended. Take that as you will. The child-to-child relationships, we are siblings. And these relationships can be tough. At the end of last year, we spent time together thinking about what it means to be church, what church should be like, how we should treat one another. And I covered then quite a lot of what it means to be sisters and brothers in Christ. In 1 Timothy 3 and Galatians 6, Paul refers to the church as God's household, as the family of believers. I don't know if you have any siblings. I have three siblings. I have three. Yeah, definitely three. And when we were children, we could be incredibly mean to each other, right? We could be really cruel. If we thought mum and dad weren't watching, if we thought we could get away with it, we'd hit or kick, we'd take away someone's stuff. We'd say innocent things which were designed specifically to sound innocent, but to really wind one another up. Those were the best ones because you could do those when mum and dad were around. Say something that sounds okay, but it's just designed to get a reaction out of one of your siblings. There were four of us, and so sometimes three of us would gang up on one of the others. We could be pretty horrible. You know, I'm not painting myself in a very good light, am I? Some churches can be a bit like this as well. We act with one another as if Father God is not watching us. We gossip about one another. We grumble to our friends in church rather than speaking to the person directly who has upset us. We do little things knowing that it might put someone else's nose out of joint, because they did something 3 years ago that really upset us. Sometimes in churches, we are really horrible to one another. But church is not supposed to be like the Mercer family, right? And to be honest, we mostly got along quite well with one another. And we get on even better now that we are adults, probably because we don't live together anymore. It's much easier. Though having said that, we do still deliberately wind one another up. Church is called to be the example of what it is to be a loving, supporting family. To be the example. We are called to unity. We are called to work for the good of each other. We are called to carry one another's burdens. We are called to share what we have with one another so that no one among us will have need. We are called to worship together, to eat together, to share life together, and to spur each other on in our faith. We are called, as Philippians 2 puts it, to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind, to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility to value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Our calling is to be the perfect family. I wonder how good we are at that. Our relationships with one another should be so good, should be so profound, should be so loving, so supportive, so encouraging. We should be so driven forward and helped to grow and challenged and spurred on in faith that everyone who doesn't come to church notices. That says, that's really weird, all those church people who are helping you with all that stuff, who are spurring you on, who love you so much. Everyone who doesn't come to church should hear us talk about church and that combination of accountability and support, equipping and caring that helps us thrive, and they should want it for themselves. What did you do at the weekend? I spent time with my church family and it was wonderful because they helped me with this, because they challenged me to do this. I'm a better person today than I was 2 weeks ago because my church family have loved me and cared for me and helped me move on. When we come together as a church, we should be carving out something that looks so much like the kingdom of God that everyone wants a piece of it. And that brings us to that final relationship, the relationship that we, the family of God, have with the world. Part of our job as family is to protect one another, to help one another as we live in this world that is sometimes hostile to faith, that presents what we might consider evil as good, that encourages us to place all sorts of things ahead of our relationship with God. A world that says that we should prioritize all sorts of things above our Father. We need to protect each other and support each other as we live in this world. But the call on the family of God is also to go into that world and to bear fruit, to bless the world, to love those who are not part of our family, to show them who God is, to love them and introduce them to Him, to tell them about Jesus and let them know that this family we are part of, this loving family that is so wonderful, our family has space for them as well. Vicky and I are done having children. We're 2-on-2 in our house and that is enough. Can barely cope as it is some days, definitely couldn't cope with being outnumbered. So a few years back, I had a vasectomy. Is that too much information? You didn't want to know that? I'm not sure what you thought you were getting when you called me as your minister, but I bet you didn't expect within the first year me to get undressed in front of you and to tell you about intimate operations that I've had. But that's part of family life too, isn't it, I guess? Maybe. Anyway, we are content with the size of our family. I don't know how much trouble I'm going to be in by the end of this service today. We are content with the size of our family, but Jesus is not content with the size of His. Our Lord is not content with the size of the family of God. This is a family where there is always more room, where everyone is invited. When we gather around the communion table, I put no barriers on who can come to the table of the Lord. You might have been to churches, you might be part of churches, you might prefer to be in a church where people are told you can only gather around the table, you can only take communion if you've done this and you've done that, if you've been baptized, if you haven't done any naughty things this week, if whatever it is, a whole load of things. I put no barriers because it's not my table, it's Jesus' table. And the invitation He extends is to everyone. And as far as I'm concerned, if you want to come and sit at the table of the Lord and share in His meal with Him, if you want to come, then there is room for you to pull up a seat, to join us. I don't get to choose who becomes part of our family. I don't get to choose who might be adopted next into the family of God, what new brothers and sisters might be joining us. We don't get to keep some people out and only let people who we like in, who are like us. This family is open to everyone, and I mean everyone. And our job is to let them know. One of the great strengths, I think, of church family is that when we gather as a church, we gather with people that we would never come into contact with anywhere else. There's some of you here who, the only time, if we weren't in church, I would ever gather anywhere near you would be as I'm sat in the away end at St James's Park watching Chelsea score 4 goals and celebrating, and you're sat in the home end looking sad. But in church, we are called to come together with this great mix. As a child, I had aunties and uncles coming out my ears, right? And most of these were not members of my earthly family, although I did have plenty of those too. But there are people who played a huge part in my life, in my growing up, in the sort of person I am. People who were part of my church family growing up, and they came and they ate with us and they celebrated with us and they wept with us. It doesn't matter how big your earthly family is. Here you have brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, grandparents and grandchildren. Here we are family, called to journey through life together and to love each other. And I believe that our lives are better for having one another. There's space for an amen there. I believe that our lives are better for having one another. Whose life is not made better by having an extra grandparent to watch over you or encourage you in your faith and to pray for you? Whose life is not made better by having a sister or a cousin to pray with or to go to the pub with or to go for a run with until you are red in the face and feel like you need to sit down or you might keel over? Did a bit of that on Monday. Churches should be cross-generational. When we gather, we shouldn't only interact with people our sort of age. I wonder who it is you chat with after this formal part of the service is done, who you interact with and what you talk about. I wonder if you spend any of that time listening to or encouraging or doing life with people who are not the same age or shape or background as you. I've got a challenge for you. I know you like challenge. I want you to think about who in our church family, or if you're from another church, in your own church family, who you might adopt, right? If you are an older couple, is there a younger person or family that you might draw alongside? If you're single, is there a family or a couple that could be adopted cousins? If you are young, are there grandparents in the faith among us today? If you come to church as a family, are there individuals that you might graft onto yourselves? Are there others you might engage with? Think about it. Who is there that you can be closer family with? Start by inviting them to dinner or for a walk along the beach or for a coffee or a beer. Let's do family together, warts and all. And we're not always going to agree, we're not always going to get on, but we can always love each other. And don't forget, our church family doesn't just include those of us who come here on a Sunday morning. Our church family includes people who are here for a toddler group on a Monday, for coffee and a chat on a Wednesday, for exercise on a Thursday. Our church family is bigger than our worship services, and these others need us to draw alongside them too, to support and encourage and spur them on as well. Right, I've got one last thing to say before I close. This is something that really spoke to me on our vision day. We all split off into groups and we thought about all the things that were important to us as a church that God might be saying are our values. And one group came back and they talked to us about church being like home. Like that sense of security and safety, I guess a place of comfort to learn and grow, which is what a home should be. A place where you can really be yourself. Even if whenever you go out the door, you have to make sure that you put your face on. And for some of us, that's a literal putting on of our faces. And for some of us, that's a bit of a metaphor. We go out the door and we have to be something. A place, home should be somewhere, church should be somewhere where you can relax, where you can be yourself. Until two years ago, my mum and dad lived in the house that I grew up in on the south coast, just outside of Portsmouth. And various other members of my family, my brothers and sisters and my nieces and nephews, seemed to move in and out of my mum and dad's house on some sort of rota basis that I never really understood. And no one ever invited me to move back in. I think they were well shot at me. But whenever we went back to visit, I would open the door with my key, because I still had a key, even though I hadn't lived there in years, and I would go and just plonk myself down on the sofa, right? It's that sense of home. When I go to visit people as the minister of the church, I wait to be invited in. I wait to be shown to which seat I'm allowed to sit in, and which one I'm not. I wait until someone offers me a cup of tea, and I sit there, and then I ask for coffee. And I sit there looking really grouchy if no one offers me any sort of drink. If I start to need the loo, I usually excuse myself rather than have that awkward thing of asking someone if I can use the toilet in their house and then worrying about whether or not they cleaned it before I arrived. At Mum and Dad's house, I plonk myself on the sofa. I make myself my own coffee sometimes, but knowing that if I get up to put the kettle on, I'm going to have to make everyone else a cup as well. I don't need to ask to use the loo because it's home. And they'll, you know, I know that they'll put up with me and I'm comfortable. And I know that if I do something I shouldn't, someone will tell me to stop, usually in an incredibly sarcastic manner. Mum and Dad moved 2 years ago and they live in a new house, quite far from the one that I grew up in. They haven't given me a key yet. But when I do go, maybe that says something to the way I behave when I had a key. But when I do go round to visit them, I still plonk myself down on the sofa. And if I want a cuppa, I'll make it myself and for anyone else that wants one. If I need the loo, I don't ask permission to go because it might be a different house, but it's still home. This, I think, is what church should be. Church isn't where we meet. It's not this building. It's who we are with. Whether we're here together, whether we are together on Sunday or during the week, whether we are on the beach or in a bar or in our houses, it is church when we come together. And it should feel like home. Please, just bear in mind, don't take that to mean if you go around someone's house from church that Joel said you don't have to ask to use the facilities. Don't want to get in trouble. But being the family of God means that when we come together, it should feel like home. We should be ourselves. We should be able to clip each other around the ear when we need it. We should encourage each other and spur each other on. We believe that we are called to be a family, to love one another, to forge cross-generational relationships, to support and care for one another, and to work together. We believe that when and wherever we come together as church, it should feel like home. I wonder what you can do to make church feel like home. I wonder who else in this family of God you might be called to draw alongside, to support and encourage and spur on, to do life with. Let me pray. Father God, I praise and thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ, people to walk alongside me and support and care for me and to kick me up the backside when that's what I need. Thank you that together we can be the sort of people you have called us to be, that we can reflect your kingdom and your glory. And I pray that you would help us to continue to grow together as a family and grow closer to you, our Heavenly Father, and reflect you more and more in our relationships with each other and our relationship with the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.